Chapter 13, Inferno. The atmosphere in Cameron Indoor Stadium has changed significantly from when I played. The Cameron Crazies really went wild with their rehearsed, well-organized hand movements, gestures, and chants. The experience appeared incredible on television, but seeing it in person, wow. No one gassed the Cameron Crazies quite like Dick Vitale. "Oh my God, the Crazies, they're going crazy in here. It's wild in here," he would explain. "It's Duke." The raucous crowd really helped make Duke University the number one place to play college basketball. Currently, it is not exactly wine and cheese in the student section, but non-students have infiltrated the standing room only bleachers, and the energy has changed somewhat. During the era in which I played, the students always went crazy at the games, but the advancements of technology have impacted the Duke basketball must-attend event mentality. The readily available access to television and streaming has seemingly made attending the game less important than it used to be. Duke has always been known for being a top academic institution, but back in the day, I thought our students valued going to sporting events more than their studies. It was like going to a game in Cameron was given. I had long heard of Cameron's beloved reputation, but honestly, when I first pulled up to the stadium on my visit, I felt underwhelmed. My guide said, "This is Cameron Indoor Stadium," with excited anticipation. Confused, I looked around wondering, where? I took a peek inside and noted its small size. I stepped in a little further and immediately saw the bold blue on the baseline. Then I caught a glimpse of the corner of the D. The gym stood empty, so I got to take it all in. The floor looked nice, but then I saw the antiquated, weather-worn seats. It looked gothic, out of touch, and just small. The arena holds less than 10,000 people. I saw high school gyms in Los Angeles, Chadwick for instance, that looked bigger than Cameron. Can I really play here? It can't possibly seat a lot of people, I thought. The Cameron hype all made sense as soon as I played in my first game. The electric energy, I got it. My first chance to play in the stadium was in the blue and white scrimmage, and even that was packed to capacity. Cameron has been sold out for the last 30 years. The fact that it only had 10,000 seats may have contributed to its consistent sold out status. I took in every detail before my first game. The unbelievable energy, the press row being the only barrier between the fans and the floor, everything. The people and the energy in the building definitely made up for the small size of the arena. I had never heard a crowd, including all the concerts I attended, as loud as the one in Cameron during big games. One of the wild things about playing loud arenas was I could not hear the ball bounce. As a player, we had certain sounds that remained constant around us. Home games sounded like mute dribbling, and I had to get used to that. I could hear Coach for the most part. Coach K would yell, "Yo!" to get our attention. One of the many coaching techniques that I learned from Coach K was that he never used a whistle during practice. It remains the reason I do not use whistles in training sessions. Coach wanted the team to get used to us hearing his voice. I appreciated that. No matter where I am, I know his voice, and I want that for my players. Sophomore year could easily be deemed my breakout year. I had the trifecta. I was a student at Duke University. I was a star player on the basketball team, and I pledged the prestigious Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. I knew from the time I saw my first step show on my middle school AAU trip that I wanted to be part of the Divine Nine. It was not until I met Derek Jackson my freshman year that I decided which fraternity I wanted to join. Derek heavily recruited me to be a Kappa. He took me to Kappa parties and told me about how they were considered pretty boys and popular. He explained that a Kappa man is a ladies' man. When I made the decision to play for Duke, I did it on my own, which was the beginning of me distancing myself from my father's control. My sophomore year solidified that I had taken control and was beginning to make my own decisions. My father absolutely did not want me to pledge Kappa, or any fraternity for that matter. I made up my mind, and I started to lay the groundwork for becoming a Kappa man. My father thought being in a fraternity would distract me from basketball, so I set out to prove him wrong. I wanted to become the second Black Greek basketball player at Duke. I knew that in order to prove my dad wrong and not to disappoint my coaches, I had to execute my focus with laser precision. I did it. I was the tail dog of my line of seven and earned the name Inferno. Your boy was on fire, killing it on and off the court. Spring of 1996 was my time in every area except the classroom. Derek brought me into the bond. I became a man of Kappa Alpha Psi. My grades suffered immensely and my GPA tanked. Academics aside, my sophomore year was easily my best year. All my numbers across the board were good. My stats looked something like this. 14 points per game, a little under 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 48% from the field, 39% from the three-point line. Growing up, the three-point shot would not have been considered my strongest skill, but I improved significantly when I got to college. The summer between my freshman and sophomore year, I put in the hard work, which allowed me to really improve as a basketball player. That summer was so instrumental in my development that it became the origin of me including hard work as one of the Game Ready's 5 pillars. I spent a ton of time on my craft. I did the little things better and excelled even when no one was watching. I wanted to improve, and I did. I credit my improvement from the individual coaching I received. Quinn Snyder worked with me tirelessly on my game. Quinn coached me on how to be more of a well-rounded offensive threat. My biggest improvement came in my three-point shooting. I felt like I was a great mid-range shooter, but I never became a true threat from behind the arc. The second I added more consistency from shooting the three-point shot, other parts of my game opened up. He taught me a slew of breakdown moves off the dribble and creative finishes around the basket that made it easy to score whenever I wanted. I also made huge strides on defense. In fact, my team voted me Defensive Player of the Year that year. I felt really proud of that achievement because coming out of high school, I did not play much defense. I kind of got by on raw talent and athleticism. I was becoming a two-way player and a threat on both sides of the ball.